This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him a different type of shahada.
This is one of the most special visits of my life.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're here at the location of one of the great companions who passed away in Ta'un Amwas, in the plague of Amwas. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam all understood this concept of shahada and thought that they would die in the battlefield. And subhanAllah, what ends up happening is that this plague takes 25,000 companions and tabi'een, some of the greatest people, many of them being from Muhajireen. Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Amin of this ummah. Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the master of the ulama, the master of the scholars. Shurahbil ibn Hasana radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was probably the companion that you could credit the majority of Jordan, what is now Jordan, coming into Islam. All of them pass away. Dirar ibn Azwar radiallahu ta'ala anhum pass away in this particular plague. And subhanAllah, when you think about 25,000 companions and tabi'een and the impact that's going to have on the ummah and how much hope that this gave to the ummah when they learned from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this is one of the means of shahada. These were people that never thought that they would die outside of the battlefield, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed something else for them. And what we have in their stories is this beautiful khitam, this beautiful ending, where each of them expresses a complete pleasure and tranquility with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes their lives. And we have an example from them and how we are to act when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strikes us with a disaster of this sorts or with a trial of this sorts. So inshallah ta'ala, we will go through and we will visit in this episode inshallah ta'ala Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, and his son Abdurrahman radiallahu anhu, who are right behind me, as well as Dirar ibn Azwar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with all of the shuhada of Amwas, all of the martyrs from this plague. So join me as we first start with a companion that many of you probably have never heard of, Dirar ibn al-Azwar radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Buried here is one of the most fascinating companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whose life with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very limited, but whose life after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, subhanAllah, extremely fascinating. When you think about Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the companion that we're speaking about and that we're visiting here, Dirar ibn al-Azwar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Dirar ibn al-Azwar was the right-hand man of Khalid radiallahu anhu and someone who was extremely skilled in battle. When he actually became Muslim is debated amongst the ulama. You'll find his mention from Ibn Sa'd, from Ibn Hajar, and from other famous historians of the Sahaba. And you'll find some information about his sister Khawla, not in the same documentation, but who's become famous, sort of a legend of sorts for fighting in the battle as well. But Dirar radiallahu ta'ala anhu became Muslim sometime after Hudaybiyah, possibly even after Fatah Mecca. And Dirar was known for being extremely wealthy and extremely courageous and skilled with all of the arts of war. And when he met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he famously told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "I own 1,000 camels. Should I donate them all for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" And the Prophet ﷺ told him that if you donate all of them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it will be a profitable transaction. And he donated all 1,000 of his camels for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he dedicated himself to war, to battle. And he participates in every single direction, in every single one of the battles after the Prophet ﷺ, the major battles, until the day of his death. He participates. So he takes part in some of the legendary battles against the Persians, against the Romans, even fights in some of the battles that take place in Africa. He's someone who goes around the world and who participates under the guidance of Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu in multiple conquests, multiple battles. His most famous incident is actually in the Battle of Ajnadin. Ajnadin is considered the battle that broke the Romans' back. This was really the most decisive battle between the Muslims and the Byzantines. It takes place around Palestine, around Palestine. And this was the battle that really changed the narrative and changed the direction of the battle between the Muslims and the Byzantines. And in the Battle of Ajnadin, what he does is he goes out
and he takes off his armor and he takes off his shirt and he holds up his sword. And then he proceeds killing over 30 of the opposing army. So he himself takes out over 30 of the Byzantines with his own sword, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, without wearing any armor and without even wearing a shirt. And they called him the shaytan who was shirtless. That was what the enemies called him. Shaytan Aris Sadr, the devil who wasn't wearing a shirt, but of course he's the shaheed, subhanAllah, who wasn't wearing a shirt. Because they couldn't understand how this man could literally take off his armor, take off his shirt, and then was so quick with his sword and so quick with his movement that he went through 30 people without a single scratch on him. And this was the most prominent incident that took place in Ajnadin, because the Byzantines understood that if the Muslims could produce people like this, then they had no chance against them. And so battle after battle, in the Battle of Yarmouk, he also, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, went forth with a battalion under Ikrimah, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. All of the men that were with him in his particular battalion were shuhada, except for him, he came out without a scratch. And so imagine this man that would stand next to Khalid ibn Walid, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And when the opposing army saw him, they basically saw him as an army by himself. And that was the description of Dirar, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he was an army by himself. That when the opponent would see Dirar ibn Azwa, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they knew that he was capable of taking out an entire battalion by himself. So he fights in Persia, in Rome, in Egypt, deep into Africa, in multiple places in the world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him a different type of shahada. He is one of those who passes away in Ta'un Amwas, in the plague of Amwas. Though he did not die in the battlefield, and he was too skilled to be touched even in the battlefield. So you might not have heard about him before, but he is the shaheed that would bare his chest, that literally stands up in Ajnadin and takes off his shirt, takes off his garment, and then proceeds quickly to go through the army. And Khalid radiallahu ta'ala anhu saw him as this right-hand man that could not be harmed by anyone from any opposing army because of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted him with, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept him as a shaheed as he died in the plague of Amwas.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the ameen, aminu hadhihi al-ummah, the trustworthy one of this ummah, is Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The man that I'm standing in front of radiallahu anhu was given a title that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself was known as al-ameen, radina. What they said about the Prophet ﷺ, the trustworthy one, we are satisfied with him. And the scholars say that there is no other person that the Prophet ﷺ bestowed a title that was known for him upon other than Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What does it mean to be Amin? It means that not only is the person truthful, it means they're trustworthy, it means that that person always has your best interest at heart. Always is just thinking about the Ummah, selfless for the Ummah, starting with the most beloved and the most precious of this Ummah, the head of it, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let's talk about him for a bit. Amir ibn Jarrah, Abu Ubaidah, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He's one of the first 10 people to embrace Islam. And he embraced Islam at the hands of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he's one of Ashar Mubashirin al-Jannah. He's one of the 10 people promised paradise. And he was someone that was particularly skilled with all of the arts of strategy when it comes to war. He was the only person that was known that can be both a bowman, an archer, as well as a foot soldier. He could easily alternate between the two. He practiced how to ride horses and camels and different animals and to shoot stationary targets, non-stationary targets, all of the techniques that were necessary for battle. He was trained in them. He could go to a place and he could scout it out and he could come back and tell the Prophet ﷺ how many soldiers were there, where they were from, the types of animals that were there, based upon just looking at the waste, the dung of the animals, and all types of tracks, that he could give you an exact estimation of what it was. So he's someone that has a special eye for these very specific skill sets that came into not just benefit for the Ummah, but really raised his status with the Prophet ﷺ, with the companions of Rasulullah ﷺ. So when he becomes Muslim, his father tortures him so badly that he basically disappears. His persecution was so severe in Mecca that some of the scholars say he migrated to Habasha. Some of them say he never got out to Habasha. But that's how severe the persecution was. And when he migrates to Medina, not leaving his deen due to the persecution, Yawm al-Furqan, the day of Badr, he was one of those who had to fight his father and had to kill his father in that battle because his father came after him on the day of Badr, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And subhanAllah, though Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu was one of the most handsome of men, one of the most beautiful in character and eloquent, he used to wear rugged clothes, and if you met him, you would notice two missing teeth and you'd notice a lisp in his speech. Why? Because the Amin of this Ummah, when he saw the Prophet ﷺ on the day of Uhud, and Rasulullah ﷺ had his helmet beaten into his face, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu removed the links of that helmet from the face of the Prophet ﷺ with his teeth until he lost his teeth, and it affected his speech for the rest of his life radiallahu anhu. This was the type of person that he was, always out there. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha mentions in one narration that the most beloved of people to the Prophet ﷺ after Abu Bakr and Umar was Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And we saw this time and time again in the era of Khulafa al-Rashideen, in the era of the righteous Khulafa, particularly Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. So who is Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu as the Amin of this Ummah? Umar appoints him as the Amir of Ash-Sham. Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Palestine all come under this man radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He built masajid throughout Ash-Sham. He built some of the world's first hospitals. In fact, some historians credit him with the first true hospitals in the world. But remember, he's the Amin of this Ummah. He was sending aid to different parts of this Ummah when they were struck by any type of natural disaster. In fact, even in Amr Ramada, the year of ashes, when Medina was struck, he sent thousands of camels of aid from Ash-Sham to Medina to support the Ummah in Al-Madina, Al-Munawwara, in the presence of the Khalifa Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was the one who prepared the scene in Jerusalem in Al-Quds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liberate it once again. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu came, he was the one that set the area for him. He was the one that Umar radiallahu anhu, you imagine the person Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu was? Umar radiallahu anhu would try to kiss his hand when he would see him. That's how precious he was to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Imagine when Umar tries to kiss your hand. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he would check on his governors and he visited his house, Abu Ubaidah tried not to let him in his home. And he said, why? He said, you know, just trust me, you don't want to enter into it. He enters into it and he doesn't find that there is some sort of, you know, stolen treasure or anything that's been taken or confiscated that rightfully belongs to the Ummah. No, the Amin of this Ummah and the Amir of Ash-Sham had nothing in his home. And Umar radiallahu anhu started to cry. And Abu Ubaidah said, I told you you're going to cry when you see my situation. He told him, don't enter into my home and see how I have nothing. And subhanAllah, when Amwas, when the plague spreads, when Umar radiallahu anhu did not enter into Bidad al-Sham, it was Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu who said to him, أَتَفِرُّ مِنْ قَدَرِ اللَّهِ, are you running away from the decree of Allah?
And Umar's response was historic. It's a very important lesson for all believers. Umar says, I'm running away from the decree of Allah to the decree of Allah. And then he explained it. He said, you know, if you guys had a group of camels and you had like a land, and on one side of the land was very fertile, there was a lot of food for the camels and they can graze there and they can eat. If you choose to put them in that land, you're doing that by the qadr of Allah, by the decree of Allah. And he said, if you put them in another place where there's like no food for them, it's like barren, they don't have anything to eat. If you choose that land, you're also doing it by the decree of Allah, by the qadr of Allah. So he says, that's why we're going back to Medina. And he explains this very important principle that a lot of people get confused about. How do we understand what is the decree of Allah? Like, what does Allah want us to do? And how does Allah know everything that's going to happen in the future? So Umar is basically saying, whenever you make a decision in your life, you don't know what the outcome is going to be, but you use cause and effect.
But Umar, radiallahu anhu, when he saw the severity of the plague, he wanted to save Abu Ubaidah. He knew that if he told Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, the Amin of this Ummah, to come to Medina to save himself, Abu Ubaidah would not listen, because Abu Ubaidah cares too much for this Ummah. He's a man of the Ummah. He struggles with the Ummah. He's not going to leave his people to die and come to Medina to be saved. So Umar radiallahu anhu sends him a letter and just tells him to come to Medina without giving him any explanation. And Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu responds to him and says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I know what you're doing, but I'm patient with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to stay here in Ash-Sham. Wajazakallahu khayran. You don't have to send a messenger to come and get me again. I'm going to stay here.
And of course, Sayyidina Abu Ubaid, the one who he is, of course declined. And he said, I'm not going to be leaving. I'm not going to leave my army. I'm not going to leave the people to die, and I am running away. Subhanallah.
The Sahaba in Medina, they said when Umar radiallahu anhu read the letter of Abu Ubaidah, he started to cry. And they asked Umar because of how he wept. They said, did Abu Ubaidah die? And he said, no, not yet. But he's not going to last very long, most likely, right? Because he's going to stay in the middle of the plague, trying to serve the people and help the people. And that's exactly what the Amin of the Ummah did. And subhanAllah, as the plague breaks out, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, being the Amir of Asham, is struck by the plague. And as he is passing away, he reminds the people about the reality of death and says, all of the children of Adam are going to die. And the most intelligent of the children of Adam are the ones that prepare for this day of theirs. So prepare for this day of yours, prepare for this day of yours. And he spent his whole life in Mecca, in Badr, in Uhud, through the Khilafah of Abu Bakr and Umar, preparing for that day, the Sadaqah Jariyah of Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, all the masajid in Asham that are built through him, all of the services, the way that he facilitated Al-Quds, the way that he facilitated so much khair for this ummah. He prepared for that day of his radiallahu ta'ala anhu when he was only in his 50s when he passed away. And the order was then that his brother Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu would be appointed as the Amir. And when Mu'adh radiallahu anhu heard about the death of Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To Allah we belong and to Allah we return. Rajulan aminan. A man who was ameen. He was truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with the people. Wa kana Allahu fi nafsihi azima. And Allah azza wa jal was great inside of him. To his chest, he held Allah in such high esteem. And that was the source of the way that he used to deal with the people, the way that he used to carry out his covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the way he would take care of this ummah. And so Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu passes away here, and this is of course part of Asham. And subhanAllah, for a moment I want you to imagine that Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that if I'm alive, and then when it comes time for me to die, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu is still alive, I will appoint him as the Khalifa without any other consideration.
And he says, if Allah asks me why did I appoint him, I will respond that I heard the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, say that every prophet has a trustworthy person of the ummah, meaning someone you can always count on, someone you can rely on. He's saying, that's why I appointed him after me.
That he is the Amin of this ummah, that he is the trustworthy one, the truthful one of this ummah, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he lays here, subhanAllah, of course, only in body, but the soul of the shaheed travels far and ascends far and is gathered with its companions with the night time. May Allah gather us with them. Allahumma ameen.
Assalamu alaikum ahlul tiyara. Min al-muslimin wal-mu'minin antum as-sabiquna wa inna insha'allahu bikum lahiqun. أسأل الله لنا ولكم العافية. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
This is one of the most special visits of my life personally, and we're here with Mu'adh ibn Jabal رضي الله تعالى عنه and his son عبد الرحمن رضي الله تعالى عنه وعن أبيه. Everything about Mu'adh ibn Jabal is love, the love of Allah, the love of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the love of people for the sake of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. أبو إدريس الخولاني رضي الله تعالى عنه mentioned, when he first met Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, he saw the people gathering around him in the masjid in Damascus. He said he was so handsome, pearly white teeth, beautiful, everything about him radiated with beauty, and the people surrounded him. And he went the next morning when he saw Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu praying, and he sat next to Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he said, Inni uhibbuka lillah, I love you for the sake of Allah. And Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu says to him, only for Allah, he said, 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 only for Allah. He said, then glad tidings to you, because I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that those who love each other for my sake will be under my shade on the day of judgment. And then you see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Wallahi ya Mu'adh, inni la uhibbuk. O Mu'adh, I want you to know that I love you.
One of the companions that I will say I am specially jealous from is Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal, in case you wonder why. Because he was one of the, if not the only Sahabi, who Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam addressed him in one of the hadith by saying, Wallahi ya Mu'adh, inni uhibbuk. Ya Mu'adh, by Allah, I love you. So you can imagine if this is you or me, And Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam called me by this, Inni uhibbuk, I love you. And we have all to think, when do we love someone, or what makes us love someone? And we are ordinary human beings. When Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam addressed a sahabi, a companion, with this word, Inni uhibbuk, we really have to look and see, who is this Mu'adh ibn Jabal? And then the advice came in. And this is for us also very good advice from Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, but came through love. And he said the meaning of, don't forget after each salah to say a dua, that we all now these days say it. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, when you know the story behind it, it will make you even more keen to know the dua. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadati. Ya Allah, help me ala dhikrika, to remember you, wa shukrika, and be grateful to you, wa husna ibadati, to worship you, but not just to worship you, excellence in worship, worship you in the best way I can do. So this is an advice from a lover to a beloved, the one who loves, and this is Sayyidina Mu'adh.
And this is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was bidding him farewell and sending him to Yemen. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam met this young man at a very young age when he came to Mecca at the hands of Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he came to give the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the pledge at Bay'atul Aqaba. When Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu came and he joined the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Bay'atul Aqaba, he immediately distinguished himself with his beauty, with his knowledge, with his intellect, with his literacy, with his love for the Qur'an, so much so that the Prophet ﷺ said, خُذُ الْقُرْآنَ مِنْ أَرْبَعَ, take the Qur'an from four people, from Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and Salim Mawla Abi Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the Prophet said, أَعْلَمُ أُمَّتِي بِالْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامِ, the most knowledgeable of my ummah in halal and haram, was Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, من أراد الفقه, whoever has anything, any question about fiqh, let him go to Mu'adh ibn Jabal. And as he distinguished himself as the scholar of the ummah, the most knowledgeable person of halal and haram that everyone would go to, the Prophet ﷺ sent him to Yemen. And Rasulullah ﷺ told him that I love you, and he gave him all sorts of advices. And he told Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it may be that you won't find me after this year. It may be that you come back to Medina and you find my grave and you find a masjid. And Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu cried. And the Prophet ﷺ turned towards Medina and he said, La tabki ya Mu'adh, do not cry, O Mu'adh. The muttaqoon and awla nasa bi muttaqoon, that those who are closest to me are the people of piety, the people of taqwa. Man kanu wa haythu kanu, whoever they are and wherever they are. And he sent Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu off to Yemen with instructions. Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to Yemen.
And what to do in Yemen is actually to teach them Islam. And this is the, also one of the very well-known hadith. And Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam asked, how are you going to give fatwa? So he said, I'm going to first look into the Quran. And Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam asked him, how about if there was nothing in the Quran? And that's, by the way, is how we these days, the principle of usul al-fiqh, the principle of fiqh was derived. One of them is from this hadith. He said, I will look into the sunnah of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he said, how about if it's not in the sunnah? Now this is Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal, sahabi. He said, I will do my best to give my opinion. Of course, based on the Quran and the Sunnah, not clearly, but he will derive from them. And here, Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam put his hand on his chest and he said, Alhamdulillah, I am so grateful to Allah that the one I have assigned to teach people is basically teaching them the way that makes me happy. This is the meaning of it. That's Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal.
And then he eventually, after leading in Yemen, was appointed in Asham. And as he came to Asham radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the great scholar that he was, the great leader that he was, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu put so much trust in him, and the Sahaba put so much trust in him. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, if death comes to me and Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu is still alive, then I will appoint him as the Khalifa. And if I'm asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment why, I will say because I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that every ummah has an ameen, and the ameen of this ummah, the trustworthy one of this ummah, is Abu Ubaidah al-Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
Then he said, if I pass away and if Abu Ubaidah is gone, then I would appoint Mu'adh ibn Jabal as being the next Khalifa. So this shows you the status of a person like Mu'adh ibn Jabal. And then he said, if Allah asked me, why did I appoint Mu'adh as being the leader? He's saying, because I heard the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, say that Mu'adh will be among the people who are leading the scholars, the people of knowledge on the Day of Judgment. So it shows you the high status of a person like Mu'adh ibn Jabal, whose life was also taken in this plague.
He is Sayyidul Ulama Yawm al-Qiyamah, the master of the scholars on the Day of Judgment. And subhanAllah, as time goes on, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu died from the plague, and Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu was appointed as the Amir. And Mu'adh radiallahu anhu had full rila, full pleasure with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, إِنَّهُ رَحْمَةُ رَبِّكُمْ وَدَعْوَةُ نَبِيِّكُمْ وَقَبْلُ الصَّالِحِينَ قَبْلَكُمْ, that this is the mercy of your Lord, and it is the dua of your Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is what took the righteous before you. And so he said, oh Allah, give Mu'adh radiallahu anhu the largest share of it. And Mu'adh was the one who, in fact, narrated many of the ahadith about the plague being a form of shahada. So he knew this was shahada radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now subhanAllah, I really did not anticipate how beautiful this is until I actually came here. But if you follow me, one of the most beautiful conversations that takes place is the conversation between Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his son Abdurrahman, who's actually right here radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Mu'adh radiallahu anhu used to say to Abdurrahman that if you stand up for salah, then pray as if it is your last prayer. Sallu salatan muwaddi'. This is a conversation between the father and the son. And as you see this conversation, and I want you to just anticipate the conversation between them, Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu would lose everybody in his family before him from the plague. So Mu'adh radiallahu anhu's last conversation with his son Abdurrahman, who was his most righteous son, Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu asks Abdurrahman, how are you? When Abdurrahman was sick and he was dying. And Abdurrahman radiallahu ta'ala anhu says to Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, Al-haqqu min rabbika fala takunanna min al-mumtari, that this is the truth from your Lord, so do not be from those who have doubt. And Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu responds to Abdurrahman, and he says, وَأَنَا سَتَجِدُنِي إِن شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ, and you will, inshaAllah, find me from the patient. Their last conversation with each other in this dunya was actually a conversation which was an ayah of the Qur'an from each of them. And Abdurrahman radiallahu ta'ala anhu passes away. And then it's Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu who starts to suffer after losing his family, the greatest share of the ta'un, of the plague. And this man, who was the one who Abu Idris al-Khawlani rahimahullah said, I came to him and I just told him, Wallahi inni uhibbuka lillah, I love you for the sake of Allah. And then Mu'adh radiallahu anhu narrated the hadith Qudsi that the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that those who love each other for my sake are going to be under my shade on the Day of Judgment. And this man radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Wallahi inni la uhibbuk, ya Mu'adh, I swear by Allah, I love you. And Mu'adh radiallahu anhu said, wa ana uhibbuka ya Rasulullah, and I love you, O Messenger of Allah. His last words as death is coming to him radiallahu ta'ala anhu was to say, Oh Allah, go ahead and strangle me with this death. Let it take me. إِنَّكَ لَتَعْلَمْ أَنِّي أُحِبُّكَ أَنَّ قَلْبِي يُحِبُّكَ. Oh Allah, you know that I love you. You know that my heart loves you. رضي الله تعالى عن معاذ. He passed away from ta'un amwas. He was the next person to go after Abu Ubaidah رضي الله عنه. And then Amr ibn al-As رضي الله تعالى عنه took over. And Amr ibn al-As رضي الله تعالى عنه survived. He took the people into different parts of the mountains and separated them and quarantined them essentially from each other so that they were able to survive. But we went to Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and here we are, subhanAllah, in this room. Can you imagine for a second the conversation between father and son? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept them both as shuhada. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala join us and our families with Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his family, and with our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for our shortcomings. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi man wala. To be the brother of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu can be very intimidating. But Amr ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the sahabi that we visit today. This young man at the time was the younger brother of Sa'd radiallahu anhu. And he witnessed his brother having this heated discussion with his mother, Sa'd radiallahu anhu, having this heated discussion with his mother, where Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu insists on becoming Muslim, and his mother refuses to allow it, and she says that I will go on a hunger strike and I will let the lice come to my hair if you continue to insist on Islam. And Sa'd radiallahu anhu loved his mother and begged his mother to please eat and drink and to take care of herself, comes to the Prophet ﷺ in such deep pain, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals, وَوَصَيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا, that we have enjoined upon man to treat his parents only with the best of manners. But if they tell you to do something that is in opposition to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands, فَلَا تُطِعُهُمَا, then don't follow them in that. Amr radiallahu anhu is the one who actually narrates much of this dialogue between Sa'd radiallahu anhu and his mother. And Amr embraces Islam alongside his brother Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But being the younger brother, he suffers in the persecution. He's not able to leave the home the way that Sa'd radiallahu anhu does. So where does he go? He goes to Habasha. He goes to Abyssinia under the leadership of Ja'far al-Tayyar, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he stays in Abyssinia while his brother Sa'd radiallahu anhu migrates to Medina eventually. And his youngest brother Umayr ibn Abi Waqqas migrates to Medina as well. And Umayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu becomes one of the shuhada of Uhud, insisting upon being there with Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu and with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in these deep moments. Here you have Amr radiallahu anhu all along, being alongside Ja'far radiallahu anhu and the Muslims in Abyssinia for a solution, for a way to be with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhu is not a Badri. He's not someone who got to attend Badr. He's not someone who got to attend Uhud. But he comes on a boat with Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu from Abyssinia to Al-Madinah to be alongside the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhu is one of those who has the special distinction of being from Ashab al-Hijratain, the people of the two Hijras. And then as the rest of the years play out, he doesn't get to spend that much time with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He does the best that he can to exert himself fi sabilillah in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever time is left with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the khilafah of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and in the khilafah of Umar al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu enlists in multiple battles. He spreads the da'wah as well to different parts of the world like his brother. But then he passes away, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, here in Jordan, what is now Jordan, just a few miles away from Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a few minutes away. And while it's not for sure that Amr, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, died in Amwas, that's one of the assumptions that he may have died from the plague of Amwas. But in any case, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept him as a shaheed and to join him with his brother, who is one of al-Ashr al-Mubashirin of the 10 promised paradise, and with the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and subhanahu wa ta'ala join us with them. And now inshaAllah ta'ala we're going to enter upon one of those Kutab al-Wahy, one of those who wrote the revelation, but who was very quiet except in the battlefield. He was very active, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The Muslim commander Shurahbil, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, ibn Hassanah. The man that we are standing next to his grave right now is the man for whom much of Jordan and much of Palestine is indebted to, in particular, because he is the one who brought Islam to most of these lands. Shurahbil ibn Hassanah radiallahu ta'ala anhu is one of the first people to embrace Islam in Mecca. And what you'll notice about these Sahaba that we're covering, especially those that died in the plague of Amwas, is that many of them were Meccan and from the early Muhajirin. Shurahbil radiallahu ta'ala anhu embraces Islam early on with his mother Hassana radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she's actually his adopted mother, and they both embrace Islam, and they find that the circumstances in Mecca are very difficult, and they are amongst those who made hijrah to Abyssinia. So first our beloved Sahabi went from Mecca to Habasha. And then afterwards, like Amr ibn Abi Waqas makes his hijrah from Habasha to Medina. So he's from Ashab al-Hijratain, those who made the two hijras. And then he spends a long life as a commander in the Muslim army. There is no army that Shurahbin ever served in except that he was a central commander, except that he was one of the main people. In the Battle of Al-Yamama, he was the number two in command after Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then when you go on into his life, you find that many of the conquests of Al-Sham have to do with Shurahbin radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In the Battle of Ajnadin, he played a central role. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu sent him as a commander to some of the main forces that went into Al-Sham. And in the fall of Busra, when we talk about the Shuhada of Mu'tah, they were sending a message to the people of Busra. In the fall of Busra, Shurahbil radiallahu ta'ala anhu was central. And then we come to Jordan and we come to Palestine, and he is constantly involved radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was so senior amongst the companions that when Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu needed to depart from one part of Al-Sham to another or appoint a general or a substitute in his place, he always appointed Shurahbil ibn Hassana radiallahu ta'ala anhu to be in his place. And subhanallah al-azim, subhanallah, if you want to think about how devastating the plague of Amwas actually was, imagine this, subhanallah. He passed away on the exact same day as Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu.
In the days of COVID, this came to us again and again and again. We were not the only nation that was tested. We were not the only nation that was tested by something new. Nobody knew what it is. Where did it come from? Spread very quickly. And we all remember these days. Who can even forget? One of the things that helped us to cope with it was that, you know what? It happened at the time of Sayyidina Umar. May Allah be pleased with him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us always remember and learn from the stories of the people before us. They were people like you and me.
Imagine how devastating it is to the Muslims to lose in the same day Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Shurahbil ibn Hassana radiallahu ta'ala anhu. There aren't many narrations from him. The Prophet ﷺ used him in certain armies and battalions. The Prophet ﷺ in fact used him as he conducted his nikah to Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha in Habasha, in Abyssinia. Shurahbin was the one who delivered the gifts and the mahar there in Abyssinia, but he was a quiet commander whose efforts resonate loudly with us today, because subhanAllah, this entire area in fact is named after him, because the people here might not have never received Islam had it not been for the efforts of this man radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who passes away on the same day as the Amin of this Ummah, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him and be pleased with all of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.